Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Today, George Payton and company are in Los Angeles.
Only in L.A.
Bright lights. Tinseltown. Kevin O'Connell, they're going to interview him in person, offensive coordinator for the Rams there. And then they're going to interview Brian Callahan on Zoom. Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator there for the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Kliss joins us here live on the program. Mike, thank you for being here, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. Mike, welcome back. A question about something you said a week or two ago when you were outlining, like, hey, this is the plan A, and this is a plan. No, it was a plan 1A and 1B, and you said 1A is Aaron Rodgers, and you said that's head and shoulders above plan 1B, which is Russell Wilson. And I'm just trying to figure out why is that the case, considering Russell's age difference from Rodgers and, you know, forecasting how much longer you'd be able to have him here in Denver in a perfect world.
Well, I think because Aaron Rodgers is 1, 2, or 3 or 4, you know, I was kind of going through this exercise the other day with some college buddies on a text line, and here's how I had them separated. There's a big four: Brady, Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. I think those four are head and shoulders above the rest, and they're kind of in their own category. What do you think of that? What do you think of that four?
I don't hate it.
Yeah, and I know Josh Allen hasn't quite put up the resume, but man, he is coming. And I mean, if you're building a team right now, you're taking Josh Allen over Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
with the age and that kind of thing. And so it's kind of a combination of who's great right now, who's going to be good. Those are my four. The next list, let's see. Gosh, I can't remember who my next list, but I think Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. I'm trying to think who else might be in that next group. Derek Carr, I kind of had in the 10 to 12, or 12, even 12 to 15. I'd have to go get my list on that.
Yeah, don't worry about
it. Aaron Rodgers. I especially after the year Russell Wilson just had. I know he was hurt. But Aaron Rodgers is still, I mean, he is cream of the cream. And that's why, you know, I think you would put him. And Russell Wilson, you know, isn't a bad 1B.
Sure.
But, just look at this year. Aaron Rodgers pretty much gets you to the Final Four every year. And I think it's his defense that's... Yeah, you know, and it may only be 3 years with him, but he seems to be, you know, he studies the Tom Brady diet. He seems to be aging as well as Brady. So maybe his career can go a little longer. Now, he's had some concussion issues earlier in his career. So that would be a little bit of a concern as far as how much longer he has. But, you know, he could have 5 years, not two.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, so I just think Rodgers is I just think he's off the charts, man, with his ability to chuck the ball around. He might be number one. He might be, as far as pure passing, I think he is number one.
Mike, let's get to the coaching search here. What's the timeline here? When do you think the earliest we could hear about a new coach for the Denver Broncos? And also, how do you view this thing right now? Who do you think the top three are? Just you speculating and guessing.
Yeah, and that's what it would be. But this, as far as the timeline,
wink.
You know, what they're going to do is it's Bieniemy tomorrow. You know, you've got I think they're starting right now on the Zoom with Callahan, and then they're interviewing O'Connell tonight in person in L.A., and then Eric Bieniemy tomorrow, and then that search committee is going to regroup and discuss whether or not to have a second round of interviews with these guys. That's the plan. They're going to talk, and, you know, if everybody agrees on one guy, you know, maybe they go ahead and just submit a contract offer. If there's two guys that like, you know, let's say Kellen Moore, or two guys that like Kevin O'Connell or Nathaniel Hackett, and three guys like Quinn, then, you know, I think you go, I think maybe you have a second round of interviews with the top two.
Who's the committee consist of, Mike?
Committee is George Payton. You haven't seen my Payton platoon and Payton posse alliterations there?
I've seen it. I just haven't read it.
It's George, his top assistant, Darren Mooji, who's the second in command upstairs, kind of like what Russell was to Elway. Kelly Klein, she's in the inner circle. She's a football operations executive. Rich Hurtado, the contract cap guy.
Okay.
He's in Peyton's inner circle. You kind of always see them together.
Why is he in there would be my question, Mike. I mean, he's a cap guy.
You know, I think.
I mean, is he just in there to. Sorry, go ahead.
I think he and George talk all the time on, you know, waiver transactions and contract guys. You know, George worries about the end of the roster. He's constantly making moves.
Oh, we've heard.
I think he deals with Hurtado all the time.
I know, but I'm talking about the head coach. I'm not talking about the roster and, you know, signing guys. We're talking about the head coach. I don't understand why this guy is a part of it.
Yeah. He just trusts him. I think there's a relationship there. I think they just, you know, they work so closely together every day that he trusts them there. Ray Jackson, who's director of player development. I don't know if you crossed paths with him. I think you were gone before. You had Jerry Butler when you were with the Broncos at the end there, Stoke.
Yeah, I didn't have Ray. This is confusing to me, Mike. And I mean, like you're giving me like the player personnel guy. You know, Ray Jackson. I mean, he helps the guys when they need help.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the cap guy. You're talking about names I haven't heard that are part of the head coaching search. And I'm just curious that it's just odd to me that these names are a part of looking for your next head coach. No disrespect to them at all.
Well,
but at the same time, I don't understand why they're part of this search committee for our next head coach.
You want a diverse, a varied opinion group. That's how George operates. It's not, you know, he's not an authoritarian. He's about collaborative decision making. It goes back to look at how he went back to the draft with Pat Surtain versus Justin Fields and Mac Jones, for better or worse. And I know he was perhaps criticized for making the safe pick with Surtain, but he believes in getting input from everyone. I've said this. If you had him on the air, you and Zach had him on the air, and you asked him questions, the interview would not end without him saying, well, who do you guys want? He wants input from as many people as
then.
You can.
Mike, can you be the intermediate here and get him on? Let's do it.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, work your magic, Mike. I mean, you got a lot of pull.
not that much.
Hey, but Mike, you know, I don't want to cut you off here. We're running short on time. And I'm asking you all the questions. I gave Zach this segment off. I told him to relax. I got this.
I have one. I mean,
well, I'm sorry. You're not going to get it in.
It's the best one of the group.
Question is, Mike, like, I get it. George wants input. I like that you got a guy that gets input, but I don't want him to want too much input. This is his decision ultimately, right? I really don't care what Richard Hatata thinks and Ray Jackson and those other names that you said. It doesn't matter. Like, they could all want different people, but ultimately it's George Payton making this call, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I agree. There's sometimes you can, what do they call it? Paralysis by analysis.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, when you have, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, name the cliche. So, that can happen too. Yeah. You have to get all the input. He wants input. He believes in it. He believes in, getting as many voices as he can. And then I think he'll go sit by himself for a couple hours and sleep on it and wake up the next day and come up with the guy he wants. And earlier you asked, you know, it's just hard to believe given the relationship he has with Dan Quinn, that won't be the way he goes. You know, it's either Dan Quinn or an offensive coordinator, because that's what this team needs more than defense. One thing about Dan Quinn that's a little concerning, I think he's more of a 4-3 guy, isn't he? So he's going to change. The Broncos are going to have to change their defensive system if they hire Dan Quinn. So that'll be interesting. I'm sure that's one of the many factors that George is considering.
All right, Kliss, I am still here with us. I had some questions. we'll have to wait till next week. I appreciate you being here, and we'll catch up with you, like I said, this time next week.
Yeah, we got to bend that limited interview time that we've been going with here lately. This used to be a half-hour interview.
Yeah,
with you guys.
I work on it. Yeah, we got to tweak some things behind the scenes with my partner here. Have a great day.
See you guys.
All right, that was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. It is starting to feel like Groundhog's Day around here, in one specific regard. I'll tell you what it is next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
It's starting to feel like Groundhog's Day around here, in one specific regard. No, I'm not talking about Stokely continuously interrupting our guest.
Hey, I mean, look, I can't let him keep rambling on about his text chain that he had with his high school buddies talking about his quarterback list, and he was going to go try to find the list. I just, sorry. At a certain point, you know, I can't do it. So just, you know, if you're mad at me for interrupting Mike, whatever. I don't care. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, Lord.
Love Mike. It's my guy. But
is it starting to feel like Groundhog's Day around here in one specific regard? Broncos picking in the top 10 of the NFL draft once again.
Wow.
2018, fifth overall pick. 2019, 10th overall pick. 2021, ninth overall pick. 2022, 10th overall pick. The years are starting to stack up in a place that you do not want to be. Now that we're here and the losing season's over, it's like, okay, this is some form of a reward of sucking. But when the Broncos were picking fifth overall in 2018, we kind of thought that was a one-off. I was like, okay, it was bad. Broncos were 5-11. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. And then you do it again. And you look at the draft order. Talked a little bit about this yesterday. You look at the draft order and the teams who are picking in the top 10 again, like who they are again in the top 10. Jacksonville, were they picking? They're picking first. Were they in the top 10 last year?
Of course
yes,
they were.
Yes, they were. picking one for a second year in a row. Wow. Was Detroit in the top 10 last year? Yep. Was the Jets in the top 10 last year? Yep. Were the Giants in the top 10 last year? Yep. And then they traded out of it. Was Carolina in the top 10 last year? Yep. Was Atlanta in the top 10 last year? Yep. Were the Broncos in the top 10 last year? Yep. They're kind of in this group of stagnant franchises that become the most interesting around draft time. And that's bad.
Not good. Hopefully, you know, we can put an end to that really quickly. But when it's bad, that's what happens. And it's been bad. Got to find a quarterback. You know, we've been in the top 10, and that's the thing. We've had top 10 picks. We've had early first round, and we haven't struck at a quarterback yet.
Nope.
We haven't even swung at the quarterback in the top 10. Took Paxton late first round early 20s, whatever it was. But, you know, with the first round picks that we've had, where you think, of course you need a quarterback usually when you're picking that high, usually. And the Broncos certainly have, and they haven't swung the bat at a quarterback. So we're still looking for a quarterback. Is this the year that George Payton takes the bat off his shoulders and decides to swing it?
My gut tells me that for the fourth time in the last 5 years, the Broncos are going to pick in the top 10 and not select a quarterback. That's what my gut tells me.
Yeah, if I had to guess right now, are the Broncos going to take a quarterback at 9? I'd say no. I'd say no.
I mean, think about that. 4 top 10 picks in the last 5 drafts. That just hurts to say out loud. The 5th pick, the 10th pick, the 9th pick, and the 10th pick.
And now, so pick Bradley Chubb. Didn't trade out of the top 10 one of the years and move back and take Noah Fant?
Yep, from 10 to 20 in 2019.
And this year is what pick?
9th.
You keep saying 10th.
I'm sorry. You know what? I wrote it down different in our notes. That's my bad.
Yeah, you keep saying 10th, and you got me confused. This is what I do. I clean the house. Which one is it? 9th, right?
Picking 9th.
Okay. So Richie's
a mistake in the notes.
Richie?
Nope, this was me.
I got that out of the way yesterday.
Although Richie did jump in my ear and said, been there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yesterday he had Rich Gannon getting interviewed by the Broncos.
Oh.
It's entirely plausible.
Gannon, yeah. That would be an interesting one.
Never say never.
Nope, never know. So they moved out the one year and took Noah Fant. Yep. Got an extra second round or whatever from the Steelers. Last year was Pat Surtain, and then this year we'll see. What it will look like. You know, no great draft class this year. Whatever that means. I mean, doesn't mean that there's not going to be one or two of these guys that turn out to be great or turn out to be good.
That's exactly right. And I think back in the 2017 class, where it was the worst tackle class in the last 2 decades. It was the first time that an offensive tackle was not selected in the first half of the first round in the modern era. It just never had happened. But there, Ryan Ramczyk, he's an all-pro.
Pretty good.
Garrett Bowles earned all-pro status a year ago. And I know it's been up and down, but like, if you're the team who select Ryan Ramczyk, it doesn't really matter what the forecast for the class was.
Right.
You got an all-pro tackle. In the late 20s.
Worked out pretty well for you. But it was supposed to be, I don't know here. They found themselves a really good one.
Yep. Yep, we can't do the broad stroke thing. Like, oh, this class sucks. You got to pick another. You've got to do your evaluation.
Yes, certainly you do. You can't just say it's a bad group as a whole. Well, maybe because you don't have a quote unquote number one overall pick that you think is going to be a
Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not putting him in there, but a perennial
he was
Pro Bowler,
before.
Perennial All Pro type of guy, a future Hall of Famer. That's what you're hoping to get when you get the number one overall pick. Just because you don't have, and a lot of those guys don't work out. Memo, right? A lot of those guys that are heralded class and like this guy's supposed to be this and that, they don't work out all the time. So just because that's how this class is being framed, let's not fall in that trap.
Would Trevor Lawrence still go number one if they redid the draft?
From last year?
12 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions in year number one. In a totally dysfunctional situation.
Right, yeah.
You think he still goes number one?
It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. It was so bad there and so many things working against him. I don't know.
I still think he does, but it's not as sure of a thing. I still ultimately think he does. But it's not like, well, if they did it again, Trey Lance would go number one. Trey didn't look great.
No.
Trevor Lawrence didn't look great.
Zach Wilson didn't look great.
Mac Jones probably goes third. You know, Mac Jones probably goes top five instead of slipping. Maybe Micah Parsons, like, goes second.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Good point.
Just interesting to look back.
I never knew who was involved in this coaching search. Like the Broncos committee, coaching search committee? I'm just like, what?
I want to pick your brain a little bit about your frustration with that coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Stokely's got beef.
Welcome back. We need to bring that back. People want it.
Stokely's stoked up.
Yeah. Classic. Throwback.
And Zach, that's why I got beef.
Man. I should have had like some kind of beef sponsor.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Johnsonville.
Something. Give me some, what else is there out there? What other kind of beef?
I think Oscar Mayer would fit you decent.
Perfect. I'm good for whatever. But, you know, like, I mean, they never got it sponsored. I mean, they dropped the ball there. So, I mean, it was handed to them on a platter. I mean, it was gold, easy. And they couldn't get it done or whatever. So eventually it's like, all right, look, I mean, I'm out.
And if you're a rather new listener, it was, golly, you know, at least 3, 4, 5 years ago now, we have a daily segment, and it was something that was grinding your gears, and you would go on this like little rant, and at the end of it, you say, and Zach, that's why I got beef, and then the liner would hit, and it was good.
We first did beef, and then we changed it from beef to stoked up, because it didn't always have to be negative.
Right.
It could be positive when it was stoked up. When it was beef, it had to kind of be negative.
Right.
And so we changed it, and it was like, that's why I'm stoked up.
And Zach, that's why I'm stoked up.
It could be positive or bad, and, you know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. But, no, in this situation, I do have a little issue here. I am stoked up about this because, you know, I see Kliss now. Peyton's posse, his committee that he has includes him. Do you have the names? I just see the last names.
It's
Mogi, Klein, Hurtado, Ray Jackson and Patrick Smythe, the PR guy. Ray Jackson, the player development guy. Yes,
brings rookies in, teaches them how to be a pro. Talk about finances. If they have a hiccup, they'll help
you.
Need help
looking for a department,
right?
You know, Ray's got the connections for you. He kind of helps you out there. Hurtado, the cap guy. Klein.
Kelly Klein.
I don't know who she is.
Then she came over from Minnesota.
Okay.
She's like an executive director of scouting.
Moogie.
That's his right-hand man.
Okay. And perfect. Then you got George Payton. I mean, ultimately, like, if I'm George, okay, cool. I got this committee, but I mean, who are you relying on? You're relying on your right-hand man, Mogi?
Mogi.
You're relying on him.
Mogs.
And that's really it. Right? That's it. I mean, at all. I mean, I'm not relying on these people too much. It's his call. It's his shot here. He's doing it. And I just, you know, why do you, the cap guy, what, like, I'm confused by that.
What if you're talking to a coach and you're asking him his ideals about, you know, building a roster type deal, and you got the cap guy there just as a maybe sounding board of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of why you would want him
in
there.
That's the general manager that has to worry about that stuff. That's why you have a general manager. He's the one that's doing the contracts with the, You know, the head coach, we're bringing the head coach here to do what? Coach, not deal with the cap, not deal with that stuff.
I'll worry about that.
Yeah, the general manager's building the roster.
Right.
Not the head coach.
Right.
So once again, confusing to me. And then, you know, the Ray Jackson, like Ray, I think a lot of people like him. I don't know him, but sounds like a good guy. Don't know, you know, why he's on the trip.
I don't know.
The group itself is a little bit odd to me.
A little bit large.
Exactly. Really, the only people I need in this group, Zach, is George Payton, the Mogi guy.
Moog.
And Patrick Smyth. Patrick's the PR guy, right? I mean, the head's up everything. He's the one coordinating it all.
And he's been through this process as well.
Yeah, he's been through it, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
So
he's been the constant, actually.
Right. So exactly. So those three are the only ones that really, I think, need to be on there. Like, too many cooks in the kitchen here. We hired George Payton to do this. I really don't care what these other people think. And I'm hoping that they don't influence him too much. Do you follow me? Am I off base there? Or how do you feel about that?
I totally understand what you're saying. Now, if George Payton, like, I think at the end of the day, George is going to do what George is going to do. But he seems like a consensus guy. He does. He seems like he wants people's opinion, you know, and Mike kind of said that. Like, he's like, if you guys were doing an interview with George, he'd ask you what you thought. You know, he's like inquisitive that way. And he may not truly give a damn.
Right.
But he's an inclusion guy, that this is, I want everyone's opinion. At the end of the day, it's going to be mine, but I still value your opinion, which I think is just a different brand of leadership.
I like it.
It's just a little bit different.
I like someone that's asked a lot of questions, that wants input from other people, but also I want that guy to be, you know, have his own view on things and not rely on other people. Now, you gather information and put it all together, but ultimately it's your call. And I'm hoping that's how he operates here. I mean, the two people that are missing here is Elway and Ellis.
Mm. Do you think they're a part of this in any way, shape, or form?
No clue. No, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I know they're not physically present, but I just wonder if they are involved in any way, shape, or form. Like, is George Payton, after the interview, kind of checking in with Joe Ellis or John?
I would think if, you know, thinking of both of these guys, just from my perspective here, just like thinking of, they got one foot out the door, obviously, right? Both of them. And they've done it a few times now. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of out. That they're out of this thing. That they're just like, I don't want to, you know, that's not fun. Like watching coaching interviews and trying to figure this thing out. And you're like, we've missed here, obviously, a lot here in the last 5, 6 years with head coaches or whatever. And I don't want to be a part of this thing at all. My hands are, I'm done with this thing. That's just me totally speculating here, but they could be, I don't know. Are these things recorded? Are they recorded? I know they're doing Callahan on Zoom, but mm-hmm. Are the in-person ones recorded at all?
Good question. Is anyone watching on Zoom? You know, watching the interview from afar. Here's what I'll say.
Are the in-person interviews, but most of them are in-person.
Yes.
Like Callahan Zoom.
No, but I'm saying, could you be doing an in-person interview while having someone else plugged in?
Right. Are they recorded? Are they taped or any of that stuff? That's my thought.
Here's my question. Is it crazy to think that if you're involving the cap guy and the player development guy and the PR guy, is it that crazy to think that Joe Ellis and John can't be looped in here?
No, it's not crazy to think that they're not looped in at all.
I wouldn't be blown away by it,
but I would just think, if I'm both of those guys, like, no.
It's your guy's show.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a George Payton show. I don't want to do this. I don't even want to be involved in this. That's not a fun process, is it?
Not if you have one foot out the door. I think if you're George Payton, the process could be fun, and you're in his shoes.
Yeah, he's just doing it for the first time, but you've done it 5 or 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And you're traveling all over the country and you're listening to these guys, it's got to be kind of mundane. Something like that. I just mundane.
Front part about no, you're close, mundane. Man. It was just the uncertainty on the front half of the word.
Yeah, it didn't feel right. I'm sure it was got. You knew what I was talking about. The mundane. Is it moon or mun? Mun. Which one?
We'll go with moon for you.
Okay.
Mundane.
Mm. Doesn't sound right.
Are we seeing a turning of the corner when it comes to an MVP campaign? Take a dive into it coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Like your nose bleeding.
Yeah, I like that.
Are we seeing a turning of the corner when it comes to an MVP campaign? Nikola Jokic last night. 49 points. 14 rebounds. 10 assists. 3 steals and a block in an overtime W. Against the Los Angeles Clippers. Jokic was... You called him a maestro earlier in the show. And I love that. Because you think of like...
I'll let you use that on your podcast. You don't even have to give me credit. You can use it this afternoon.
You think of like a conductor just like...
That's what he did at the end of the game, man. It was just brilliant.
For him to be in control... Like, that's one of the things from like Jokic... You know, and LeBron James is like this and has been like this forever. He's like a puppet master for the other players on the floor. Yesterday to Tyler and D-Mac, I referred to Jokic as the sun, and the other players just are in his orbit. Just kind of, what do they call that, revolving around. And for him to do once again what he did last night, he's going to be first-team All-Pro, all right? But I think he's got a great shot to be the MVP once again. Brandon Stokely, the current most valuable player odds, according to our friends at Superbook, Steph Curry is number one right now at 5-2. Giannis is number two, 3-1 odds. The third most likely odds on favorite to win MVP is Joel Embiid at 7-2. And there Nikola Jokic sits with 5-1 odds. And I believe, Stoke, seriously, I believe this, that at the end of this season, Nikola Jokic is going to be front and center for this award. Steph Curry has seriously come back down to earth in terms of like the league's best player, MVP, sentimental favorite. Like if Steph was going to be the leader in the clubhouse, Steph was going to win. But Steph Curry hasn't gone over 20 points in the last week. Has single digits mixed in, has really struggled from three in the last month. His shooting numbers are way down. Shooting nearly 30% from three. This is Steph Curry. Sample size is getting bigger. He's regressing. Joel Embiid, okay, coming on. Okay. Giannis, I get it. But Jokic's availability and the historical rock-solid nature of that ability combined with an easy, not easy, but in terms of an NBA schedule, Stoke, it really eases up in the back half of the season. The Nuggets have played among the most back-to-backs in the league, among the most road games in the league. Their schedule gets easier while they're getting healthy. I think the Nuggets are going to win a bunch of games in the second half of this season. I think they're going to be a top four seed, which you have got to be if you're going to win the MVP. You got to be hosting a first round playoff series. Top three is obviously more desirable, but as long as you're in that top four, because of the regression of other candidates, because of the historical lack of availability from other candidates, Curry, Embiid, I just think at the end of the day, Jokic is going to continue to do what he's doing right now and has been doing all season long. and for the people who cast the vote, not who organize segments on Get Up and First Take and Undisputed, for the people who cast the votes with integrity behind them, those voters have a great passion for basketball, and they're, and I said this phrase a lot last year, and I just said it now, like, there is integrity behind those votes. I just believe at the end of the day, he's going to be right at the finish line.
What was the phrase?
Casting votes with integrity.
Casting votes with
integrity. Not for a headline, not for a click, not for a segment.
No, you said that a lot last year, and you were spot on. Right? Like, hey, don't, Stokely, don't worry about what they're saying. You know, because I come in there like, what are these people doing? How is he not the favorite right now? You know, it's Embiid. It's this, Embiid's missed all these games. It doesn't matter. It's Embiid. It's this guy, you know. And it's like, what is going on? And you're spot on. You said, hey, they are not involved in the hype trains of different guys. They're going to take a back. They're going to take a step back and really view the whole thing and break down everything. And you were right. Do they do that again? You know, do you bring in those analytic things that really Jokic just excels at, right? And they're going to have to win. The Nuggets, like you said, they're going to have to win. And on top of that, I just think, so they're going to have to do that. He's going to have to keep playing really, I think he's going to have to play like he did last night for a lot of the stretch down here. Like, he's really going to have to make them select. They don't want to. They don't want to give it to him again. It didn't feel like they wanted to give it to him last year. And they don't want to give it to him again. You know they don't.
They would have much another prefer, option. They will.
They much prefer to give it to Steph,
mm-hmm.
Giannis, Embiid, Durant. They would. That's just the facts. Those are the facts. So he's going to have to go above and beyond like I do here at the radio station. That's why I have all those awards, the above and beyond awards that I get nominated for just doing extra work. He's going to have to do that also. Right? But so the Bet Rivers odds, the Bet Rivers odds, he is third.
Really?
And you had him at what number?
Fourth at 5-1.
So he is plus 600. I don't know, is that plus 500 for you?
Exactly.
It's plus 600. So you bet $100, you win, you know, $600.
Yep.
And Giannis is plus 275. And Steph is plus 160. And then there is Nikola third at plus 600. So similar. I mean, different books have different, mm-hmm. you know,
yep.
Especially in stuff like this. They can vary a lot, but he's, I just really think that they're going to have to go on a run as a team, like you said. And then plus, he's going to just have to be spectacular like he was last night.
I'll use the phrase that I used at Brothers Barbecue in our season preview.
A lot of phrases that you're reusing.
Undeniable case.
I like that.
Nikola has the ability to make an undeniable case, but he's going to have to do it just on his own. Because he's not going to get help from the national media.
That's right.
And he's also going to have what he had last night. Moments. Digestible moments for fans. You drop 49, 14, and 10 in primetime on national TV with the game-winning assist. Like, stuff like that matters. They're human beings. They're votes. But I'll tell you this. This is the night after. This is the day after Nikola goes for 49, 14, 10 with three steals. In a primetime win. You know what channel they played on last night?
ESPN.
ESPN.
Yeah.
I'm on ESPN.com. I click on NBA.
Uh-huh.
So no football,
right,
no
just all
hockey,
NBA
all
stuff.
NBA.
Look, talk to me.
This is the headline with a picture of LeBron. The Lakers are broken. Here's how to fix them. Top headline. LeBron surges ahead of Curry in all-star voting. Next headline. Kyrie fined $25,000 for obscene gesture. Unbelievable. Embiid scores 50 in just 27 minutes.
That is really cool, though. That's really good.
Russell Westbrook benched. Vogel had green light, sources say. Now I scroll down. Okay, now I'm on page 2. Westbrook's woes. Stephen A. questions Westbrook's legacy. Next article. LeBron comments on Russ's benching. Refuses to point blame at Vogel. Can't make this up. I'm continuing to scroll down here. Next big headline. I'm on page 3. These Knicks aren't last year's Knicks. Julius Randle, the Knicks are the burden of expectation. Now I'm on page 4. Why Stephen A. would never give Kyrie another long-term deal. It goes on and on like this. This is the night after the reigning MVP goes for 49, 14, and 10 on ESPN. I love ESPN. We're an ESPN affiliate here. Love ESPN. But this is how Nicole is handled. This is how he has been handled. This is not anything new. All right. It's something that we're like hyper aware of, maybe for some fans sensitive to. I'm not sensitive to it anymore. I'm not. It's just my expectation. It's just my expectation for the headlines to be buried. It's my expectation for Mark Jones, who's on the call with Richard Jefferson, to call Nikola Djokovic.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
That happened 2 weeks ago.
No.
This is the reigning MVP.
Was he calling tennis?
It's the reigning MVP. In
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. Yeah, I'm back.
I mean,
I never left.
I mean, dude.
I never left.
First of all, you were early.
I wasn't early. I was not early. Yes. The clock's right here. Sorry.
I'm looking at the clock.
Tyler, was I early?
I had it synced up.
It was 58:01.
Thank you. It's good to have someone that's just partial and just tells the truth. Thank you, Tyler.
That's all I'm here for.
Mid-sentence. There was no breath. There was no break.
I thought there was a break in between the Djokovic or whatever he was called.
Like, what's the sense of even playing a game that doesn't have any rules?
Yeah, that's kind of where we are at now. It's just where we're at. I heard Matt Smith get involved with Marilat. He stole it from Marilat the other day. I thought that was pretty cool.
Thank you, Darren McKee.
Wow.
Week 18 ledger cleared.
Wow.
Hi, Tyler.
Hi, buddy.
Do you owe me a little something?
No, I sent you a Venmo.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you?
Zach is shady, man. You're shady. And you're going to put his business on the street when he Venmoed you? You're a bad guy. Bad guy, Tyler.
The game ended. I paid him within 10 seconds.
And now he's looking for his money.
No, you didn't. I sent you money.
No, you didn't.
10 seconds.
You know why? Because you lost week 18, and then you tried to double up in the national championship game, and then you got.
But I paid the double up.
Yes, you did.
Right, but he paid it.
He did.
And you come call him out on air like that. That's disrespectful.
Because it was an electronic. Because it was an electronic transfer, it was in a different compartment of my brain.
Electronic transfer. You only got one compartment, and it's full of air. Nothing.
Hey, is it a blood moon today or something? Is there blood moon?
Why? Because Stokely showed up to work?
But the two of you are here together. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, I've been working, but I've been having to fill in, you know, and take over the morning show.
Right.
take it over?
Yeah. I'm about to pull. Have y'all watched Succession, by the way?
Yes.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
You like it, Tyler?
I'm like one of the kids, and Mark is the dad. I'm about to pull the coup on him and take over the business.
I mean, there's not very many qualified kids there. So, I mean, if you want to be one of the kids, which kid are you?
I'm Kendall.
Kendall's a psychotic who's going to kill himself.
So you're cokehead.
But he gets clean. He gets, you know, I mean, like, everybody's got some issues.
What?
I mean, everybody's got a few issues in their life, right? Oh, my goodness. I'm certainly not the other brother.
Right.
You're not Kieran Culkin?
He's
has some fetishes. He's got some issues right there.
Yeah.
That guy.
I think, you know. I mean, Shiv. Oof. Hello, world.
Hello, world, Shiv.
I'm just saying.
Hello.
I am so anxious to get out of here.
Let's go, baby. We're back, Zach. We're back, baby.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.